February 3, 2021. It's the Walk for Pedro show. Walk for Pedro Show. Happy Tuesday. First Tuesday of Feb. There's 21. We start off with a blessing. John Coltrane and Don Cherry. I think Mr. Ed Blackwell was on drums there. Then the very interesting song, The Vitamin, Michael Evans. And I love this tune. It's a fucking mind blow. And the people, I'm not totally man alone. I mean, Brother Matt's in the Love Grotto, the Pleasure Point, because we're in quarantino mode still. But not totally man alone because of those software geniuses in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Michael Evans with me. Welcome aboard, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, and we're talking to you from Brooklyn.
Very interesting question. I just noticed on my Skype handle that it says I was in New York, and that's where I would have been had I not moved part of the year down to Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay, home of Sun Ra, Mr. Sonny Blanc.
That's right, the Magic City.
Sonny Blanc, yeah. And a great club there called, well, maybe it's gone now, but it was called Saturn. It was the drummer man from Man or Astro Man ran it. Great Pat. I want to go.
Interesting. I don't know if it's still here, right? Yeah.
I was there last, you know, in the fall of 2019, my last tour I played there, but I think maybe. And before that, he had the Bottle Tree. But anyway, and before that, right, going way back is the Nick and stuff. I've played Birmingham for many, many times. But I want to talk about your musical journey, please, Michael. What about your earliest musical recollection?
It's very interesting because I checked out from a good friend of mine that I had remembered, and I thought you might be asking a question like that, and I'm ready because it pretty much blows my mind when I think about it. It was a friend of mine whose father, when we were in late high school, maybe the first year of junior college, and I think he finished junior college, I didn't. His father said, I'll pay for you if you go for business, but I won't for music. So he had to make that decision. I'll never forget the day that he, you know, had to make that ultimate decision, and he chose business. And I was really bummed out because he was a great guitar player. Anyway, his name is Jay Korngold, and I believe he said, I thought it was fifth grade, but in sixth grade, him and I did a duet, and I believe we worked some stuff out. You know, compositionally, if at that age you think you can remember that you did, but I do think we did try to work some things out, and then we improvised the rest of the time, and my mother drove us there. So that's the next person I'm going to talk to about that experience. I talked to her years and years ago about it, but I wanted to find out which grade it was. I think it was fifth or sixth, but it was us performing at a retardation center, and it was called Sunland Retardation Center, Sunland Training Center. And we went in, we performed, him on guitar, me on drums. I can't recall whether they had a kid or if I brought some, you know, stuff to combine whatever they had. It seemed like that more. And we just did our thing, and it was one of the most glorious experiences early in my life where I got to connect with people, and they just happened to be folks that were retarded, and they were dancing, and it was jovial, and it wasn't negative in any kind of way that I can remember, you know, but that was one of the most glorious things I think that I tried to remember back then.
What town was it, Michael?
That was in Miami, Florida, probably okay. North Miami, a place called Ogis, which is like a regional title. Like, what would it be like if you're in Brooklyn, like Greenpoint or Williamsburg, those little sections of the Brooklyn areas, you know?
I think we'd call them a neighborhood. So
that's right.
Homo, the rat bastard.
That's right, and I've never met him, and I drove by there on the night that his club was closed, or where he booked was closed, and I had heard great things about him when I was down probably in the past 10 to 20 years. Yeah, visiting my mother. She still lives in North Miami.
Now, drummer man Ed Wilcox, a friend of his. So now, you being a stick man, in, okay, fifth, sixth grade, but you had already got on the drum. How did you get on the fucking drums, Michael?
That's what I'm trying to remember. You know, like, it's very interesting. It was almost whatever they had around to beat, because that was what sort of a guy that I was, beating things. And, you know, my mom, I was raised poor, so my mom worked, and brought in the money, and we lived with her older brother, my uncle. And he basically raised me till I was about 8 years old. But I remember my grandmother discouraging me from beating on things, my stomach, tin cans, the pots and the pans. So I kind of feel like all together, that was, you know, the truth be told to come was me just beating on anything. So I think there was some of that in addition to drums themselves. Yeah.
What about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band or shit like that?
I was in concert band. Our teacher's name was Mr. Lee, and that was in junior high. And I remember being, and again, you know, we have these fond memories of being somewhat outcast and never really knowing it till you get that, you know, dude that's straight, you know, saying, man, you're really weird. And then I just started saying thank you, and then would do the square sign to them, and that would really piss them off.
You know, there's an early lyric, Michael, in a song called Woolly Bully. Right?
That's Sam the Sham.
Right. I think it's the first AM radio song that had a fucking Espanol count in. But he also says, don't be L7. And you know what L7 is, right?
Yeah.
It's that symbol you're talking about. And I think we're talking 1965. You know, he toured, Tab Falco turned me on to this. He toured in a fucking hearse.
I'm telling you, his records, if you ever put some of those on, you would be very surprised. Well, not you, but folks would be very surprised as to how actually like sophisticated some of that music is.
Oh, yeah. It's Texas, Louisiana really kind of hybrid of a version of rock and roll R&B. Yeah, it's fucking bitchin'. I love it. Yeah, I love it. Patty told that. Ron Ashton, love that stuff. So, can you tell me what record you bought with the first record you bought with your own money, Michael?
Wow. That's a difficult one because it definitely is a toss-up between the Beatles and the Stones.
Okay.
Because my mother would listen and really key into the radio along with a lot of other things. But I think it was probably Can't Buy Me Love from the Beatles.
So a 45.
Like a 45.
Yeah.
Or somehow got my hands on it if someone loaned it to me.
And what about the first gig you went and saw? Remember, it's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Of course. Oh, no. That's kind of like my vision on music. There is no, you know, this is the best, this is the worst. It's all music. Music is music.
Yeah,
sweet caress. You know,
beautiful.
Give me a kiss. But definitely, this one is funny. It's, definitely. Grand Funk Railroad.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
And Blood Rock.
And I remember Blood Rock. Flint, Michigan. Maybe Blood Rock was from Ohio, but I know Flint, Michigan for that other band.
Yeah.
I saw Jay Giles blow them away because they were huge. That Red record, they changed their name just to Grand Funk. Everybody in Pedro had that fucking record.
Yeah, that was their second record.
Right.
And that particular gig was at a place called the Miami Sportatorium. And I can remember that very distinctly because I thought the smell of patchouli was actually marijuana or what some people had said, you know, like the other member of the family was hashish, you know, like, I was getting into what that would be and I wanted to smoke some and they were like, no, you got it all wrong. That's this body oil that the hippies wear.
Perfume.
And that was all throughout the audience.
I know that odor. Michael, I want to play this Organizing the Chaos from you.
hebben zoveel mogelijkheden. Toch krijgen het voor elkaar je nog te vervelen. Dit is een van de vele derde orde problemen waar we over klagen, die we openlijk delen. Maar dat is om het leven. Niemand houdt je tegen. Je komt er overheen, de grootste gemene delen. Pak de kans, kom in de benen of bepaal dat je de dag voor het tv doorbrengt. We maken ons zo vaak zorgen over of we wel alles uit het leven halen. Omdat er veel te beleven valt. Omgevende opinie, je ziet alleen het dal. Toch hoor je bij de club bij de tegenvallende ledental. Want de jackpot wordt altijd uitgekeerd in deze regio. Bijbehorend bestedingspatroon, mogelijkheden legio. De wereld ligt in je voeten, maar besef je dat, dan weet je dat ook. Want bij een ingebreken blijven van het fenomeen begrijp je dat je eigenlijk altijd al de vrijheid had. Als de oog let op de pijnen en de blik gaat van oneindig naar de omgekeerde realiteit, hoe wijk je je af? Bij een ingebreken blijven van het fenomeen begrijp je dat je eigenlijk altijd al de vrijheid had. En soms dan merk je net bewust, dan hangt het ergens in de lucht. Dan maak je daar een feestje van op een vrijdagdag. Ik kan me geen voorstelling maken van die gang van zaken. Daar bleek afgewend van die andere kant van de aarde. We zijn er binnen gekeerd, we zien ons eigendom mee. Waardoor we vergeten zijn hoe vrij we eigenlijk zijn. Want je beperkt het in de kern van je wezen en kun je nergens meer heen. Dan besef je het, dan merk je meteen. Het hele leven onderhevig aan externe factoren. Maar overheerst de stem zodat je verder niks horen kunt. Zaken hangen je boven het hoofd, is het zwaard. Voor Damocles is het zwaar en stress. Door problemen word je haast ondraaglijk getest. Dat is niet waar ik het over heb, waar ik eigenlijk bedoel. We zitten veilig genoeg, ver verwijderd van het vuur dat te weinig te wijken hoeft. Stabiliteit lijkt grijs, maar weinig gezeik, dus uiteindelijk goed. Want bij het ingebreken blijven van het fenomeen begrijp je dat je eigenlijk altijd al de vrijheid had. En als de oogleppen verdwijnen en de blikken van oneindig naar de omgekeerde realiteit, hoe wijk je die af? Bij een ingebreken blijven van het fenomeen begrijp je dat je eigenlijk altijd al de vrijheid had. En soms dan ben ik je nut bewust, dan hangt het ergens in de lucht. Dan maak je er een feestje van op een vrijdagsdag.
Oh my. Oh my. Oh my, what a little life. Squished between the sky and the ground. Struggling for my little piece of cheese. Nudging little rat butts around. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my. It's a nice gray. Oh, it's really fun to see. Jump into an ugly fray and see what's left for me. How did I get here? UFO germs or monkey sperm? Oh, when the lights come up now, we scramble in our turn. We tuck our tails and head for the smells we know best. Oh my. Oh my. Oh my.
For Pedro Show. Yeah, started that chunk of music off with Michael Evans and Organizing the Chaos. Then we had Juan, because he's Dutch, right? Juan Van de Dog with, and the tune's called In Gebreke. But most of that belongs in my fucking throat. I can't do it. It's a demo, and excuse me, Dutch people, for slaughtering your language. I didn't mean to. Hands Rotten from Switzerland with Noise Nonsense. Then a little smiley face with parentheses and semicolon. You know, that way you can get all artistic with some phonetic symbol. Brahmas Prendon, Scuttle for Cheese. The Pekin, his new solo record, 48. Well, I guess it's his first solo record. It's beautiful. I love it. Bob Fay, Matt Jones, a demo of their new project put together in a tune called Twin Earth. And finally, Magnetic Healing from, how do you pronounce this, Michael? Is it East Side Percussion?
Yeah, it's without the T, so okay. It's E-A-S.
Yeah, but how do you pronounce that, Michael?
East Side Percussion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ESP for short.
Sure, and it's great. A Magnetic Healing. So now you did that gig at the Center for those retardation thing. And would you call that a band, or was that a one-off thing with your guitar buddy?
We had a duo going for years.
Okay,
and
okay.
Just in the past week, I actually talked to him because I owed him a call. And we have cassettes of that stuff. Also makes me want to, you know, digitize some of that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and he pretty much, you know, I think he's been playing guitar on the weekends, and he became a certified public accountant, you know, due to his father paying for his business schooling.
Sure.
Yeah, so he kept playing guitar, which I was happy about. Yeah,
but But that's your first band, and it kept going for a while, except for the big college decision. Yeah, that put a...
That's right.
What did we say? Yeah, that put a damper in the pamper.
Yeah, we performed probably in a bunch of different places, but mainly did a lot of recording at home and, either his house or my house when we were growing up.
Now, when I hear that, I'm thinking of your poor, lonely kick drum. You didn't want to get together with a bass man.
Good question. I think that came later when I realized that was probably what I was missing.
Now, of course, I'm a little biased in that area.
Yeah.
Okay. I know there's more room in the ride, probably, but that poor, lonely kick drum. So
that's right.
So what's this man's name again?
His name is Jay Korngold,
yeah.
And his last name, interestingly enough, he is related to the classical. I think it was a distant, it would be in his family, I forgot, Wolfgang Korngold, famous classical composer, some distant part of his family. So he probably had it in his genes.
Well, did you and Jay tour?
Probably did multiple gigs in the south of Florida, you know, Miami, Fort Lauderdale,
sure.
Hollywood. Yeah, not really very far outside of Florida.
Yeah, we got to tell the listeners, there's a Hollywood in Florida, people, and I got a funny Minuteman story. Me and D. Boone were having an argument or a discussion outside a bank, and they got all paranoid and called the hombres, and the guy says, but D. Boone went into some health food thing to get some spirulina, and the officer comes up, where are you from, Hollywood? And like, that's the kind of thing you would say here in SoCal to a poser in the punk early days of punk, right? You know, Hollywood. And I didn't realize there's a Hollywood, Florida, you know.
And
D. Boone had me wearing army clothes with a beard, so I look like Fidel. So where's your partner, Che? Or no, Fidel. He goes, no, Fidel, where's Che? And the Boone came walking out, and they just started laughing. They let us go. But that's my Hollywood story, Hollywood, Florida story. So, you said you were playing music in junior high with the orchestra. Do you take an academic route with drumming?
I did. I went, actually, that's when I decided to go. I was born in Massachusetts and grew up there till I was 8, and then my mother remarried. She remarried, it was to a man who brought us to Florida, to South Florida. So I grew up there and then decided to come back up north, ironically, to go to Berklee College of Music.
Yeah.
And I never graduated, and I've been told by some of my heroes that if you graduate, your music career is over. And I always got a kick on that one, you know. Like, I can understand it in a distant sort of way, and that's not really altogether true. But you know, like, you go there for what amount of time you need to, and gain contacts and perspective.
Yeah, that's what I heard. There was a lot of good connects. But what? How would
Definitely.
You? How would if I asked you to assess the whole experience? How would you put it, Michael?
Of going to that college?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much what you said was hanging out, meeting various people, learning what I ended up wanting to learn, and then unfortunately the story takes a bad turn where my father said he would pay for me to continue to go to that college if I was to get a degree. And I told him I didn't want a degree, I wanted to be a performer. So he said, I'm sorry, I can't continue paying a lot of money for you just to be a performer. So I said, okay. And then I just played on the local scene up there in Boston, and then I moved to New York in 86.
So you were in some Boston bands?
Yes. I didn't actually include one of the groups because I didn't have a USB turntable, that was one of the groups that probably had renown. I played with a bunch of them, but this one was with Amy Mann. If you know her work, Till Tuesday, she did some work. I think she lives on the West Coast. But anyway, the band I was in, it was sort of a new wave punk band called the Young Snakes.
Sure. Sure.
And that was in Boston. Yeah.
Now, was it much different than playing with Jay?
Yes. more, you know, probably the thing about Jay that he informed me about, which I think made it last so long and we had so much fun, was we really were truly improvisers. We just played what we didn't know together. And then, you know, playing music that had form and had repetitive, schemes going on. There was something we composed, a few things that we composed together that were like that, but usually it was just jumping off the cliff, which I found really a lot more interesting.
I like that term. You know, Sam in Pueblo, Sam Marsh, Bob Marsh, mm-hmm. Bob Marsh, I'm sorry. He called it jumping off the pole, jumping from the pole. Yeah, yeah, I like that idea.
Any kind of music, right?
Yeah, right, sure.
Doesn't matter what kind it is, yeah.
So you go to New York City in 1986. What's the first thing you do musically?
Very good question. Wow. Probably freelance, which is quite a lot of what I did anyway. I did perform in some groups. One of the ones that probably, again, you know, renowned to me, yeah, like you're a complete success in your own mind, sort of thing. It was a band called Artlist, and I don't know if
you I heard.
And we toured Europe, and actually one of the members I've been in touch with the most, who lives upstate New York, right close by Woodstock, and his name is Bill Ulitolo. He's actually a bass player, multi-instrumentalist. Yeah, he was the bass player in that band who got me the gig. And that was a lot of fun. Did a lot of touring in lots of different parts of East and West Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, in those days.
And Eastern Europe, yeah.
I got to tell people, in the old days when you did a tour, half the gigs would be in this country called West Germany.
Yep.
Now, I've noticed a lot of New Yorkers move up the river to the Hudson Valley.
Ooh, especially right now.
That's maybe the last five years, though.
Yeah, like I'd say even 10 to 15 noticeably, and then probably 5, like beyond a shadow of a doubt, many of the folks that we know. Yeah, because it's just become so gentrified. I think New York has lost its charm, and I say that to some of my friends there, and they're like, oh, no, but it's still going. And I'm like, okay.
But okay, back to your music thing. What about playing in the city? How did you fucking move your drums around?
You're asking some great questions, my friend. Automobiles. Okay. Later, you know, and then you get this chance to play on the crappiest equipment that they supply
that's
you.
That's already at the pad, right?
Yeah, that's probably in the past decade or, you know, two. Yeah, 10 to 15 years, actually. Where you go, you just bring your cymbals. You have to be in charge of fixing shit up. Otherwise, it's going to be hopeless. You know, tuning, bringing some heads, if you can find out what the diameters are. I've done that before, you know, because... Someone said you're going to want to change those heads, you know, things like that.
You know what they call that cymbal stuff in England?
No.
Breakables. Bring your breakables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, we're at the end of the first hour, February 3rd, 2021 edition, Wap Pedro Show, special guest Michael Evans. Hold tight for hour two. February 3rd, 2021, it's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
No love I've ever seen. feet underground.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. We start off the second hour, Michael Evans Superstar, which is a great band name. And then Film Reel Studies Number One, Sam Bennett after that, who actually is from Birmingham, Alabama, but is lived in Tokyo now 25 years. Yeah, he was a Lower East Side guy, right, in the 90s and stuff. And also he had a shift he pulled for a while in Boston also. But he's been
25 years. That's where I met him.
Okay, so you're a buddy of fucking Sam Bennett. Yeah, great.
That's right. Totally.
Okay, Waku Waku Kingdom after that. Brother Shige from Berlin. Well, actually from Tokyo originally. Waku Matsuri Festival, huh? Dale Cover. Here's a drummer man who made a solo record so he can play everything he wants to. Including drums. Kiss Proof World. Anthony Perroge. He was on the last episode. Incredible guitar man. The New Electric. And finally, Alexander Hacka with Yours Truly. Now, I know Alexander. And in fact, a year and a half ago in Berlin, I saw him. Him and his wife have been on the show here.
Oh,
in fact, she's going to be on again. They got a new record. And, he's a very interesting cat, a great musician.
Totally.
Yeah. So how'd that happen, this Yours Truly, this collab?
When him and Danielle came to New York a number of times, they stayed with me at my house, and then once later in me and my girlfriend's place. And it was great having them, you know, share meals. And he had, from that particular record, Sanctuary, he had been doing a travelogue thing where he would go to different people's places with his recording gear and record them and have them create it and then create over that through overdubbing. I think my thing was he just let me do my thing, and I had a lot going on at the same time. And then he had Andrew Umra,
right,
who's from Neubauten. He calls us avant-garde star percussionists. He did the alarm clocks on that. Yeah.
Okay.
Alex was the mixer. Very possibly could have played some things on there. I forget. That was a whole lot of fun. I think he just went to Los Angeles, had Sugar Pie Jones do some things, and I think Algis and Vincent Signorelli did some things for him. And so it's like, I think Larry Mullins also.
Yeah, Larry.
Yep.
I did two years of Stooges with Larry.
That's right. You know Larry very well, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've been doing a whole bunch of collabs. We are rhythm section for Tab Falco Tour 2015.
Wow.
Tell me about Michael Evans Superstar.
Wow. You're going to crack up. that particular record was a demo that I sent a friend of mine, Jan Ken Montgomery from New York City, who's a great artist of sound, and he is the minister of lamination. So he owns a bunch of laminating machines, and if you have a party and you want to invite him, you can invite the minister of lamination, and he'll be over there in the corner outfitting everybody with their laminations, and that's a whole other story. But he had a record company that he co-led with Scott Kunzelman, who's still in Red Hook, Brooklyn, great sound artist himself, and it was called Generator, and I think it's still going on. And his offshoot label was ATM OTW, which stands for Artist Throwing Money Out the Window. And I wanted to be on it, so I asked him, you know, here's my material recorded at a friend's place. Would you be interested in releasing it? So instead of writing me back, I didn't hear from him. So I was trying to figure out, well, what's up with not ever hearing back from him? I work at a record store, or at that point, I worked at a record store called Earwax for many, many years in Brooklyn,
sure,
in Williamsburg. And he snuck his newly formed, in the cover itself, my demo done up with these various like different sleeve things in the front and the back, and he put it together and he had it, you know, not for sale, and he stuck it in there, and I had a mate that I worked with, fellow employee, and she contacted me and said, "Hey, your solo CD's in here." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's on ATM OTW Records." And I'm like, "Oh my God, he snuck it in there and put it in the, you know, the collection of stuff being sold." And so then I made a deal with him where I did all the silk screening of the covers, and he burned the CDs. And I got a baseball card made, of myself on it with, you know, a very interesting picture and some quotes on the back. And it's a very funny release. I think we only did 500 to 1,000. And, of course, I probably have like 3 or 4 left. But we were talking about re-releasing it. Yeah, like that's the story. And that particular cut, Film Reel Studies, that was recorded, that whole record, at Larry Seven's house. Have you heard of Larry Seven?
Larry Seven.
He's still around. He's a good friend of Larry Mullins, and they made a Christmas album.
Oh, yes, I know all about it. I know all about it. Yep. Larry told me about all these fucking bamboo kind of percussive.
Yep. Incredible music. And yeah, unfortunately, it's never been released. You know, someone, a donor should come out, you know, of a disappearing act, you know, from society and put some money down to get that thing released because it's incredible.
Yeah,
He recorded that record. He was the engineer. I call him Mr. Magic because everything was like so like put under a magnifying glass audio-wise, you know. And that particular cut is a part of a series, I think 1 through 15 or something, really short pieces, and they all involve reels from films mixed in with my various crazy percussion and drums.
I want to play Organs in the Air.
Thank you.
Juan from Pedro Show started that chunk of music off with Jason Willett, Michael Evans doing Organs in the Air. Then Sam Locke Ward from Iowa City with In the Quiet Man doing Ketamine Freak Out, number one. This probably wasn't a number two. Sleep Party People after that with the Trente Moller remix of The Dwarf and the Horse. For the continued existence of Blank Master from Sigodi. And finally, Deviant Shakti with Shamanic Guides. Deviant Shakti, Michael.
Really wonderful piece as a part of a record, you know, with LaDonna Smith, who actually playing with every week down here in Birmingham, you know, and she was part of a duo with Davey Williams. Unfortunately, he left the earth about three years ago.
That's right.
She, unfortunately, fortunately, she's doing great. She unfortunately recently had a quintuple heart bypass surgery.
Whoa.
And she is as sharp as a razor and getting it together, exercising, playing her violin again. I just played with her a couple of times and we're going to continue that. And she's actually responsible for me getting a rehearsal space here. I'm now on that, putting my stuff in there. I'm going to set up in the next few days. So really great things are happening, but that was a duo record that she and I made, in my studio in Brooklyn when she was up visiting. Yeah.
But she's a big reason why you're in Birmingham now.
One of the biggest, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about this, piece with Jason Willett, Organs in the Air.
Jason is a real powerhouse, and he, I believe, is from Frederick, Maryland. Not too many people know about Frederick. Some do, but I think now lives exclusively and has for a number of decades in Baltimore. And that piece was just him and I doing a duet. He recorded it, and we both were using broken air organs. You know those kiddie organs that you just turn on?
Yeah, they got like a little fan or some shit.
Yep. And they were out of tune, but somehow in tune, out of tune, if that can be a good way to describe it. You know, like, and I think at the end, I turn mine off and he turns his off and the pitch goes down. And I don't know. There's just something beautiful about that piece.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Look, Michael, we're at the end of the second hour, February 3rd, 2021. Just Watt Pedro Show special guest, Michael Evans. Hold tight for hour three. February 3, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
I don't blame Steve Jobs for what he's done to our bodies and our brains. No, no, no. I blame you and me for making Steve Jobs feel like what he done was right. I don't blame Steve Jobs for what he's done to our planet and our workers and our slaves. You know, everything we've done since 1982 was wrong, and Steve Jobs was just a puppeteer in a turtleneck. And I don't blame Steve Jobs for turning rock and roll into a store at the mall. I blame you and me accepting the seduction of being normal. I don't blame Steve Jobs for driving a spike through the heart of the public space. No, no, no. I blame you and me for retreating into fantasy, fingering our half-formed thoughts in our sleep. Sexy, crumbling civilization. Whoa, whoa. I don't blame Steve Jobs for castrating what's left of the left wing. No, no, no. I blame you and me for begging Steve Jobs for anesthesia. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a prescription to cure ambiguity and confusion and the struggle to carve out one's own life. Like a showman knife, the man had 14 wives. Check my text messages. My kids got lice. I don't blame Steve Jobs for making us timid and defeat. No, no, no. Blame you and me for paying Steve Jobs to turn those sins into a lifestyle. State enforced edict. Motherfucking shitheads. Motherfucking shitheads. Motherfucking shitheads.
You motherfucking shitheads!
Thank you. It's just a
Watch for Pedro Show. We start off the third hour. Jason Willett again, Michael Evans, JW and me. Then we had Crane, Dirk, and Jim doing Combustible, live jam, guys from the Hill. Fatso Jetson, that's Mario Lally from Apple Valley. Here Lies Boomer's Panic, way before that Stoner thing, Mario, Pioneer Man. Stony Spring after that, Jobs. And finally, something from Robert Wyatt called Beware. Now, Robert Wyatt was a drummer man when he was, you know, able to do drums. What was it like playing with him?
I didn't actually play with him, which is pretty fascinating, and you wouldn't really know. I did look at the because I have the cover, you know, and the CD. That was an interesting story because what a big fan I am of him. You know, we all are. My ex-girlfriend still... you know, very friendly with her, Karen Matler, daughter of Carla Bley, Michael Matler. She did that record with him, and these tunes of hers, in addition to some standards and maybe a couple of Roberts, were on this record, Beware. Cuckoo Land. And Beware was one of the pieces on a duo record, along with a tune that they also do called Mr. E. I guess you'll be able to guess who that's about. And it's an instrumental. And on the record that Karen and I did, her duo record that I appeared on, I did some whistling of the melody. And I don't know if there's whistling on that particular version of it, but that's on there. And then Beware is on there. So respectfully, when we were together, he... and I had been in touch about South African expatriates that had moved to London. Dudu Pokwana, Mongezi Feza, Johnny Diani, Louis Moholo. They had escaped the South African apartheid and chose to go to Great Britain. And they ended up doing a lot with the improvisers there. So he and I shared his experiences with knowing those guys and sent me some materials that I have been in touch with them about on cassette, and I digitized those and actually formed a band that played that music of those musicians. And so I had been in touch with them originally already. And then he wrote me a letter, actually a postcard, asking if he could sample my drum pattern on Beware. And of course I was like, I would be honored. And he did, and then he played over it on that tune. So I never recorded with him. It was just me being sampled. And I've never been sampled before. And so I feel honored to have been sampled by him.
well, you know Mr. Clyde Stubblefield, right, with his funky drummer. he's part of more songs. So in a trippy way, you did play with him.
Right. It may be virtually, right?
Yeah,
like,
right,
if
right.
you were to speak in that fashion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Proxy or something like this. Look, I got something you gave me, an entitled, I don't know, a jam or improvised, something with Paul and Steve, a trio. Let's play this. Watt for Pedro Show, final music for this edition. Paul Geluso?
Yes.
Okay. Steve Vitello?
Vitello.
Yeah, Vitello. We got some Italianos here. Okay. Michael Evans. Yeah. My Moz people from there. I should know that shit. And what is this trio, Mike?
This was a trio. We played some live gigs, but mostly did some recordings. And it was me on drums, although I'm not on drums on this cut. I'm playing theremin through some guitar effects. And that's one of the things I enjoy doing. I'm going to get back into that soon. And Steve, very interesting sound artist as of recent decade or two, but really incredible guitar player. I'm not even quite sure. I hope he's still playing guitar, but he was doing his thing on there. And then Paul Geluso, great sound artist himself, playing upright bass through crazy effects. And I think Steve Vitello was using one of the early Eventide effects that allowed him to do some very interesting things. And I guess the reason that I included this particular cut is because what I did on the theremin through the guitar effects doesn't sound like a theremin. I can't tell what the hell it is. And I love that aspect of playing that instrument through, you know, those forms of processing.
Sure, yeah. Sure, absolutely. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
We had
Seafeel after that with Airless. That was Brother Shigate. Yeah. Another band he had. And then finally, another trio with you involved, Michael. Fulminate. Okay. The Tiger Variations. Enlighten us.
The beginning of that, I think of when I was recording it as a pinball machine starting. You take your, you know, like thingamajigger down there on the right,
flipper,
pull it out with the ball, and
strikes
the ball through. Yeah,
sure.
And then I go through a series of portamentos of increasing the tempo faster, come back slower, and there's those forms that take us to then the ensemble of the trio, Anders and Ken joining. And then there was a worked out system. I don't even know, like, it was a numerical system that I came up with. And it just grabs you, or whatever, grabs me in creating it, you know, like, shakes you some. At one point gets so fast, it's off the map and then completely, you know, fulminates. And it's probably where the name of the band came from.
Right.
Where we did that so well, you know. And it goes through all these changes, I guess, metamorphoses. Some of the other sections were written by me and the guitar player Anders. Some of them were more of his ideas that I also added stuff to. And then some of them were my ideas that he added stuff to. So it was a collaborative thing and so much fun. And that title was based on a tiger on the West Coast. You may have remembered it. In the 90s, getting loose from a zoo.
That's right.
And going through all these variations of where it went and what kind of havoc it wreaked. And, you know, that's where I got that title from. Yeah.
Okay. And you got a website, right?
I do. It's completely not up to date, but will be soon.
So if people want to, what's the URL, please?
Sure. It's www.MichaelEvans and then sounds.com.
So michaelevanssounds.com.
You got it.
Yeah. So you're making the transition to Birmingham right now. And have you been composing? What about using the internet for trading files because of this situation? Have you been doing that?
Another great question. It just so happens that when you buy a house, you are thoroughly and overtly consumed by it all. You know, it took so long to be able to close on our house that that's all pretty much what we were dealing with. And it's a fixer-upper, So I've been trying to get more on that. And now, since I have a rehearsal space, I'll definitely get back in there and get some things done. But really haven't been doing very much, except maybe every week, you know, improvising with some people, one group on Zoom. And then, of course, I mentioned earlier with LaDonna Smith. That's just off the map, great and fun. I'm going to be taking an audio course through a friend of mine. And luckily, he's gotten grant funding to be able to teach it to various people. And I happened to see the invite and got back to him in time. And he said, sure, join in. That's going to be in maybe a week or two so I can get my skills better together.
Michael, I think that's a great idea. I think more musicians have got to get used to record themselves. Why does it have to be another cat? There's nothing wrong with a guy with a lot of skills, but I think you got to get a little more self-sufficient, you know, because of situations like this.
Yeah.
And it's more, I don't know, everybody's got a pewter anyway. Why not turn it into a tape recorder?
This is true. I'm not fearful. Some of my peers are totally old school. I'm sure some of yours are too, right? And I'll let them do the
absolutely,
job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm the old man running, chasing after the train, going, you're going too fast. You know, it's going to happen, right? So get on board. Michael, it's been a great honor to have you. When you get all situated there and start making new music and stuff, will you come on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
I would love that, Mike, and I'm so honored to come here and talk with you and have you ask me such interesting questions.
Oh, bitchin'. Most bitchin', truly. Keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been the February 3, 2021 edition of WAP Peter, so keep your powder dry.